greetings and salutations, everyone. I am AC2GS. My name is Roy, and I am the net control operator for the Limark Technical Net. It's been going strong for more than 43 years now. Every Sunday night around 8 o'clock, we sit in front of our radios, and we teach each other, we learn from each other, and hopefully we're entertained by each other. And I thank you once again for joining me this particular Sunday night at 8 p.m. when we try and do it all over again. As per usual, I will drop for a moment and return with the usual links. Okay. If you want to reach me via email, that would be for what we used to call mailbag questions. Those are technical questions, but you couldn't get onto the TechNet for some reason. Or if you have expertise in a technology that's in the news and you'd like to share it with us, you can email me and ask, and we'll provide some time for you to discuss it and take questions, hopefully. Or if you have a TechNet puzzle, we're always searching for them. They're as rare as hen's teeth and very useful to kind of stimulate discussion, remind people of stuff that they learned many years ago but unfortunately forgot it. And it's a fun time. So if you have something like that that isn't easily answered by Googling it, I'd really love to have a copy. And if it fits in well, we'll go with it. Or if you want me to poke a ball on the shoulder and have him take a look at a NASA space-related story, of course, you can reach him directly. His email address is spacenetreport@gmail.com. My email address for this technical net is mailbag@ac2gs.com. In addition, as I've mentioned repeatedly, every week I kind of cut and paste interesting YouTubes that I've seen or stories that I've seen, and I post them on a link page, and the link page stays up 24/7 for years. So if you're ever suffering from insomnia or boredom and you want to see some interesting things, at least that I found interesting, just type into your browser roy.ac2gs.com. And that'll bring up the link page. We have a chat room. Last Sunday, the chat room was very, very busy. Sometimes it's quiet. You can get to it by typing into your browser, chat.ac2gs.com. And we offer a streaming service for the technical net. You can hear it on the Internet if you're not within radio distance or you don't have a radio. And we keep it live the rest of the week. We try to make it 24/7. So if you're curious what's going on in Glen Oaks, but you don't have a radio on you, you can just type into your browser technet.ac2gs.com, and that'll bring you to the audio stream. And I always like to remind people that Mike, KC2NJI, has a great archive site. It's called amateurradio.tv, and it has archives of this technical net that go as far back as September of 2006. So avail yourself of the wisdom of people who have either moved away from the area or others who unfortunately became silent keys. Their wisdom remains on those audio tapes, and they're just as useful now as they were when they mentioned them many years back. So take a look at the archive site when you have some free time. Let me drop for a second, and I'll tell you what we got planned. Well, there's a small front segment before we get to the question portion. Last week, a gentleman asked what he had been tinkering around in Echolink, and he found there was a notation with a bracket, a small r, n bracket, and he was curious of what the heck that might have been. So I did a little bit of detective work, and I will report back on it at the very top of this technical net. After that, we will go with the regular questions and answers, comments, chats about technology, what have you. I'd like the first few to be amateur radio related, since this is an amateur radio net, but we're open to any discussion of science and technology, and we'll try our best. That should take us to approximately 10:15 when Paul will join us for the SpaceNet report. that should take us approximately to 11 p.m., where I will return to tie a bow on everything and wish you well for the coming week. Hopefully, we won't have a mini disaster like we did last Sunday, where the All-Star link failed and took down the links between Selden and Glen Oaks, and took down the Echo link, and took down the All-Star node. So hopefully everything will work this time. But I might fall out of All-Star. It's been known to happen. If all of a sudden I stop talking abruptly, give me a minute or two to kind of reset the application. That usually solves things. Anyway, that's the plan. Let me drop again, and I'll get back to my little story to tell. Okay. During the TechNet, someone asked what the bracket small r and bracket meant in its notation on an obscure window of Echolink. And a simple search for that subject, there were people who kind of took the facts page of Echolink, others who took the document pages. And unfortunately, all they can come up with was dash R, not brackets R. Dash R is a designation for whether the node is a repeater node, as opposed to a personal simplex node. If you are on Echolink, you're probably on the simpler designation. If you are the server for a repeater, as I am for another club's repeater, you have a dash R designation, not a bracket R, closed bracket. So anyway, it was not to be found. So I contacted the Echolink people during the technical net, during the SpaceNet report, and 5 minutes after the TechNet finished up, I got a reply from them. Also, I was a little curious of that reply was a good answer, but I couldn't find it any other place, and I made an extensive kind of search for it anywhere, and I found it only in one place, and it's probably the worst place that I could have found it. Google sometimes, I'm sure you're aware, has this AI thing where it tries to glibly answer your question, and I found, unfortunately, about 40% of the time it's nonsense. That glib answer was the correct answer. I didn't even bother looking at it last Sunday because I don't value it that much. But that was the only place, other than the email response, that I could find the answer. Let me drop for a sec. Okay, so the answer that the AI gave, and it's almost identical to what the engineer at Echolink gave me, says in Echolink the character bracket small r n bracket indicates that the station is running on a smartphone or a tablet and is operating through a relay server. In this configuration, the station can only make outgoing connections, not incoming ones. If you try to connect to a station with a bracket small r n bracket, you will receive a no route available message. So that's an interesting aspect of Echolink. If you run Echolink on your personal computer in your house, usually if you have a reasonably smart router, the router will automatically port forward some settings into your router so that that particular computer can communicate using Echolink. If unfortunately after you do that, you get another computer in your house and you try to do the same thing, it can only port forward to one computer. So you'll get a failure, and you'll have to use what's called a proxy server. Proxy servers come and go, and they're not really terribly dependable, but they're the best option. When you use your cell phone or your iPad, it uses a separate relay system that's much easier to deal with. It's kind of invisible. But the problem, as I just read, is that it only goes in one direction. So you sitting with your cell phone or your mobile can make a connection to an outside node, but people on the outside who want to connect to you through that node. Witty as always. can't do it in the opposite direction. So that's the reason that the bracket small r and bracket is. Any comments? Again, I would consider that third grade humor at best. Any comments before we move on to the regular section of the technical net?
This is KD2STV calling Roy at the Echo TechNet. Thank you for your answer about the small bracket at R. I'm glad to have some kind of information about it. Back to you.
Okay, very good. I'm glad we were able to get you an answer. You know, if the guys had been about 10 minutes faster before the TechNet ended, I would have been able to give it to you the same night. But I found it interesting because I've had to maneuver. I have a very unfortunately complicated setup with Echolink. I have a server for another club's repeater, and in addition, I use my own account on another computer in my house, so I have to do proxy serving. And also, Echolink really doesn't like when you have two separate Echolink applications in your house running on the same IP address that your internet service provider gives you. So I've had to hide one behind a virtual private network so that I don't get nasty emails from the guys at Echolink. Anyway, I'm glad you asked the question because I wouldn't have thought of it, and I learned something new last week, so I thank you for that.
This is KD2SPB again, Dan. Thank you, Roy. I sure appreciate your help. Nobody else that I've talked to was able to come up with any answers. They did think about the repeater aspect of it, but that's the dash capital R, and that was quite different. But I think you're digging into it and getting the answer, and I will continue to listen to the TechNet. KD2SPB, Dan, over to you.
Okay, very good, Dan. Yeah, I'm a curious guy. And once I get my teeth into something, you know, unless it's impossible to figure out, I really want to know the answer. So I thank you for serving up that question that was an exercise in letting me learn a couple of new things. So thank you, Dan. Anyway, I am AC2GS. My name is Roy. This is the Limark Technical Net. We're open for business. So it's questions, comments, topics for discussion. Preferably the first few should be amateur radio related. So hit that push to talk and put your name on the list. Okay, Wes, you're on the list. For some strange reason, your audio was very, very low. When you checked your transmission earlier. Yeah, you're about 20 decibels down for some strange reason. I don't know if something's interfering with it or if something strange happened to your radio or your microphone.
Hold on. Microphone gain.
second you were fine, and then it attenuated again. I don't know. It could be a kind of problematic microphone connection, or it could be someone playing in the background. Difficult to tell.
I hope it.
Again, the first few seconds were okay, and then they went all the way down 20 decibels.
But it is still recoverable, right?
Well, right now I hear you fine. When you 20, 30 decibels, it's like you're whispering a few hundred yards away from it. I hear someone talking, but I'm not quite sure what you say.
Okay, so let me know when it gets worse.
Okay, I would suggest though that you kind of break your conversational comments into smaller segments so that if I lose your audio, I can tell you that sooner. Sometimes you'll go on for a couple of minutes and I can't hear any of it, and it takes me a couple of minutes to tell you that I can't hear any of it. So just kind of try and break the transmission a little bit more often, just in case. Okay. Okay, that was attenuated as well, unfortunately, but I figured it out. Anyone else want to put their name on the list for tonight? You know, sometimes people kind of come by around 10 o'clock and they want to do their thing, and someone else signed up earlier, and they also want to do their question, and hard feelings are kind of generated. So the easiest approach is to get your name in early, and we can kind of adjust things as necessary. Sometimes people don't have too much time, so we let them cut the line with the okay of the other people. But, you know, if you're just going to wait until about 10 o'clock and then going to say, geez, I can't get on because this other guy is on, then I'm sorry, but that's the way lines sort of work. So if there's anyone who would like to get their place in line, you know, written down right now, please get that push to talk and ID yourself.
AD2DU.
Yes, Alex, you got a question for tonight?
Yeah, just about. What's the alert log book of math? And is there a good way to map the...
Gosh, now you're attenuating. Whoever that guy is who's screwing around, you know, pick an enemy and stick with it if you must. Don't just kind of jam everyone here. So try again, Alex.
What's the best? Can I map my LOTW cont ADTU?
Yeah, unfortunately, half of that was not understandable. I assume that it's not a problem at my end. If anyone out there hears everyone perfectly well and wants to tell me that the All-Star link is screwing up, but please feel free to.
No, it's not. No, you're doing good, Roy, WS2N. No problem. I don't know if it's a repeater problem or something else, but we'll find out shortly.
Okay, thank you, Paul. Thank you, Wes. Alex, I'm sorry that I have to ask you a third time to repeat yourself. I got bits and pieces of it. I just didn't get the whole thing. I think you were discussing LOTW, log on the air, on the world.
Yes,
sounds like it's going to be a very challenging night tonight because someone someplace probably has nothing better to do. I could suggest some things, but it might cause blindness. You probably would enjoy it while you're doing it. Otherwise, I don't know. I mean, it would be nice if we have some kind of completely alternative way of communicating with each other that obviates people, with some kind of an axe to grind. So, I don't know how many times you're going to tolerate me asking you to please try again, Alex. I'm sure eventually the bottle of scotch will get to the end of it and, he'll kind of slowly just fade away into sleepy land and such. But I don't know exactly what hour that's going to happen. So I don't know what to tell you, Alex. If you're game to try one more time to try and tell me the question, please feel free.
How do you get a look? AD2 to you.
Okay, well, once again, I only get a little smidgen of that. If anyone can kind of decode and kind of put together those audible segments for me and relay, I'd appreciate it because I'm at a loss at this point.
Coming to Glen Oaks, Roy?
I assume so.
Yeah, it doesn't happen with me. So it's on that end somewhere. Okay. I'm out in Selden.
Yeah, but you're being linked to Glen Oaks, and Glen Oaks is transmitting it to me, and you have a fine signal. I think what's going on is that someone's kind of playing with the input frequencies of Glen Oaks, because I'm not quite sure if the output is being affected, but if someone is kind of throwing an empty carrier on the incoming, that would give us exactly this type of problem.
Yeah, I know. Due to the capture, there wouldn't be anything left. Completely gone, West would be completely gone. Not sure. We need somebody else to check in from Glen Oaks.
No, for Charlie, see you, Pop.
Yeah, Jeff, I heard you in the beginning, but then you faded as well. So the guy apparently hates everyone, so he's going to do it to everyone. I assume that I'm coming through reasonably well because I'm using the magic of my All-Star link, which can't be jammed because there is no incoming radio transmission. But it seems like everyone in Glen Oaks is now going to experience the joy of having their carriers kind of screwed around with. Getting back to Paul, if you get a full quieting, yeah, then you hear nothing, which sometimes I was hearing nothing. But I guess there's a possible case where you're not putting out enough carrier to cause full quieting. You're just kind of screwing up the amplitude of the other signal's audio stream. So you can have it both ways, I would think, depending upon the strength and the location of the errant transmission. Anyway, Jeff, welcome aboard. Unfortunately, I have problems hearing you as well.
Roger, listen.
Yeah, I got the Roger, Roy. I don't know what to tell you guys. We've gone through a bunch of little problems. I tend to think this one's man-made. So if a man who made it would just kind of go someplace and do something, I'd be eternally thankful. But otherwise, I'm not quite sure we're going to have to play, you know, guess the question all night. That could get rather tedious rather quickly. Or we could all somehow shift to All-Star or Echo Link or some other means that doesn't include the Glen Oaks input frequency. If anyone is game to do that, either through Echo Link or All-Star or IRLP, I guess, because IRLP goes through Selden, feel free. But it looks like the input to Glen Oaks is going to be problematic tonight for at least a while.
Roy, do you want a puzzle from Selden? Kill a couple of minutes. WS to West.
Sure.
Did you say sure?
Yes, I did. Absolutely, positively sure. That would be great.
Okay. I think you guys are going to get this pretty quick. We'll do it anyway. Okay, I have a bat and a ball, and it costs $1.10. Now, the bat costs $1 more than the ball. So how much does the ball cost? You know, so again, a bat and a ball cost $1.10. The bat costs $1 more than the ball. How much does the ball cost? Back to you, Roy.
Okay, I got the answer, but I'm curious if anyone out there has the answer. Anyone would like to guess? This is a nice little test of the way people solve problems. There's kind of two tracks. There's the easy way, which occasionally is wrong, and there's the hard way that usually is right, but it just takes more effort and calories and time. And so we all kind of like to default into the simple mode, which unfortunately in the case of this particular question usually means you get it wrong. So if you want to give it a try, please feel free. Gosh, we got nothing. I wonder if people are just sitting there with a paper and pen or something. I don't know. I'll give it another try, and then I'll answer it for you, Paul, if no one else wants to. Again, anyone out there, especially guys in Selden, because Selden can actually communicate, because Selden doesn't include a guy with a bad psychological problem that he's suffering and sharing with us all.
KEC2PL by Echo Link. I call 5-6.
Yeah, very good, Jeff. He kind of added some noise to the background, but I heard you except for that little noise that he made. So you want to answer the question tonight, Jeff?
Yeah, Roger. I mean, it's quite easy algebra, right? But you do actually need to do the algebra. So I believe it's 5 cents. This is via Echo Link, USO.
Yeah, I see on Echo Link's open. You are absolutely positively correct. What happens with some people when they just kind of listen to the question, they don't really want to think about it, they use the fast track, they usually tell you that the ball was 10 cents, which is wrong. It's 5 cents. Because as the story goes, the bat is $1 more than 5 cents for the ball, which is $1.05, and $1.05 and 5 cents is $1.10, which is the total sum. So you are quite right, Jeff. And again, it's an interesting exercise to demonstrate that if you take the lazy approach, which we all ultimately do, because it's the easiest approach, you get things wrong too many times. So, Paul, I trust that we both answered the question correctly.
Very good. Very good. Excellent. Yeah. My wife, came up with this about a week ago. So I was saving it for some downtime here. And I thought it was pretty good. I didn't get it that fast. I had to sit around 5 minutes or so before I put it together. But it's interesting. And I knew you guys were gonna get it fast. Last thing you want to do is give it to a bunch of ham radio operators that are excellent in math. And I knew that was gonna go quick. Anyway, back to you, Roy. WS2N.
Yeah, it's a cute little exercise. It's a nice little puzzle. It's you'll see it in YouTube. I think I used it many years ago. You know, Dick, K2RW, may rest in peace, loved puzzles. And I think I included that as one of the puzzles years ago. I don't write them down, so I might be wrong about that. But that little puzzle I've known about for years. The biggest fun he had with my TechNet puzzles when I used the Monty Hall conundrum, the Monty Hall paradox, which was that statistically speaking, if you chose one of those three curtains and Monty gave you the choice to change your mind, if you actually changed your mind to the other two, you had a statistically improved chance of winning the big prize instead of the booby prize.
But yeah, but which one was it? Was it should you change or should you stay? Which one was the better one to do?
It was definitely you should change.
Okay. Yeah, I remember seeing the math on that and everything. But yeah, I forgot about that one. That's a long time ago, but that definitely rang a bell when you brought that up.
Yeah, we had fun with the TechNet puzzles, and you know it was as much a pleasure to kind of tell Dick the question. Sometimes he was a bit on the greedy side. You know, it's so difficult to get TechNet puzzles that if I had two, I would unfortunately I would tell him I have two, but I'll only use one for today, so I'll save the next one for next week, and he would have none of that. He wanted both of his puzzles immediately, so it was one of my big pleasures to see, to listen to him kind of roll it around in his mind and see what he came out with. It's, it was a joy.
Yeah, I remember quite a few of them, the birds in the truck, you know. You know, when they fly, you know, Is there any weight, you know, being pushed down on the truck? And oh my God, one right after the other. The balloons in the car, which way the balloons are going to go when you make a turn. So many of them. They were great. Back to you, Roy.
Yes, indeed. Maybe someday if I'm ridiculously driven with obsession, I'll have to kind of search around and pluck them out of different episodes of the TechNet and have a kind of a TechNet puzzle compilation edition someplace. The problem is none of these things are indexed, although there's artificial intelligence software that's capable of transcribing things, and then you can, I guess, index them through the transcription. Well, it's always been in the back of my head, and I've always kind of downloaded transcription software and indexing software, and I've never quite come up with something strong enough to sort of do things like that yet, but I always keep it in the back of my mind. Anyway, thank you, Paul. Let's see if the climate's improved at all. Alex, I hate to ask you again, but you want to give it another try asking the question?
Sure. Is there a good way to word it to Ludwig of the World to one of your contacts? And is there a good way to map
Okay, our friend is still doing his thing. Any chance you can jump on Echolink? It seems to work good for Jeff.
I typed in chat.
Okay, let me check on something. Okay, it's back online. If you could type it again into chat.
So, what's the best way to be alerted when Logbook of the World makes a contact confirmation, and can you map the Logbook of the World contact? ADT to you.
Okay, yeah, that worked fine. Your audio was beautiful. Unfortunately, I'm not a big fan of Logbook of the World, so I got an account there, and I got my security code and all that, but I haven't really used it much. Is there anyone out there with a lot more expertise in Logbook of the World who can answer Alice's question tonight? Well, it appears not, Alex, unfortunately. Once again, I will scribble it down in my notes, and I will do a little research over the next week, and hopefully I'll be able to give you the answer next Sunday night when things will hopefully be a lot better. So I'm sorry that I can't answer your question right now. Oh, I see you wrote into the chat room as well. That's good. I didn't notice that. I was too busy kind of figuring out other things. But anyway, I'll check in on it. Again, I'm not really that facile with it, although I do have an account. I don't really keep nice records because I'm not a contester or a DXer. So, you know, I'm happy for the contacts, but I don't usually enter them anyplace. But I'll look it up.
Do the same. I still send QSL cards. I never got involved with the Logbook of the World. So I don't know. I don't know. I don't have an answer for him.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of guys that really like electronic. I bought myself 1,000 QSL cards. I think I have 990 left. I sent a couple to a guy that I talked to in Poland on the 10-meter net. But especially kind of new hams, it's a lot easier to just kind of enter it on the ARRL application, or a lot of people like to enter their contacts on QRZ. It doesn't require a stamp. And it goes back to one of the primary things that I learned when I was a kid about amateur radio operators. Most of them really don't like to spend money.
Okay, very good. Yeah, I have about 30 cards on my wall. You know, my favorite ones. I have hundreds, you know. But, if I get something new that's interesting, you know, I might take one down that's been up there for many years and put it back up. But, you know, I wanted a wall of QSL cards, you know, not just, a file on a computer. So that's what happened there. I guess I should start that. You know, if I ever get on an FD8 or something, maybe I would do that. There's so many contacts that come through you. That would drive you nuts. Not having some file like Logbooks of the World. But we'll find up with that in the future. And then they had trouble. Remember the ARRL had trouble not too long ago with the. They got hacked and all kinds of problems with that.
you know, I guess it must have came back to life. Remember that about a month or two ago? They were still having problems.
AC2GS. Yeah, they've slowly crawled out of that rabbit hole that they fell into. And it's unfortunate. I was talking to someone about it. And, you know, you'd think that the ARRL is, you know, technology, and they would have up-to-date computers. And I tried to explain to them that, you know, there's always been, unfortunately, it's lessening over the last few years, a divide between computer electronics and radio electronics. I mean, software-defined radio kind of merges the two together. But a lot of hams are a little less interested in computers. I mean, again, Dick, K2RW, may he rest in peace. He had Chris, his son, handle all the computer stuff, and Chris tightened up the security so much that about half the time I would email Dick, it would get bounced back to me because his security software thought there was something amiss. So, you know, just because you're a ham and you know all kinds of things about radio waves and vacuum tubes and components doesn't mean that you're necessarily up to date with computers. By the way, I was also going to mention this, and I totally forgot at the top of the technical net. Unfortunately, I'm told that the ARRL has yet another problem. All web servers these days have security certificates to kind of prove who they are. And a lot of web browsers will default from HTTP, which is the hypertext protocols originally, to something called HTTPS. The S stands for security. Security means it goes to the web server and it asks for a legitimate certificate of security. Those things are time-coded, so they expire. So my understanding is that presently the ARRL's web server certificate expired. So a lot of people are going to go to the ARRL and get these error messages suggesting that it's an insecure site. That'll scare a lot of people. So they have to update their certificate. Hopefully they'll be able to do that very soon. So I thank you for reminding me to mention that. The ARRL, God love them, you know, they do have a weakness when it comes to computers.
Yeah, that's true. That's why when I get an email now from the ARRL telling me that the latest issue of QSC is, you know, your digital QSC is ready. I read it, like, right away that day, so, you know, I don't delete that email. I don't go back to go back and sign into the ARRL. I've had a lot of problems doing that, you know, with the password and everything, and sometimes it works, and sometimes it doesn't work. So, you know, and then go into the archives and then look for the QST. It kind of drives you crazy. So I read them right away. But, yeah. They do have a way to go. I'm not a big ARRL computer fan. Years ago, everything was great with when everything was analog. Things got mailed home. It's much more inconvenient back then. You know, even with the government, you know, you pass your license. You know, you upgrade to general or something, and you just have to wait weeks on end before you got an okay in the mail from the FCC. Now everything's done 1, 2, 3. I don't know. That's the way it goes. I think it was more fun the other way. Back to you.
AC2GS. Well, if it makes you feel any better, Paul, I talked to someone who recently got his license. And it still took him about 3 weeks. I mean, it's not because the post office, it's because the FCC, you know, the ARRL or some other VE team sends it to the FCC, and they finally enter it into the database, and then finally they give you something. So I mean, hopefully they'll improve that as time goes on. Yeah, but you know, for whatever it's worth, it's still that 3-week wait.
Comment? Okay. And you have to print these things on your own printer, you know. You get a certificate from the ARRL, you know, you're a member. You know, put with a little card to carry in your wallet. Well, you know, it doesn't come in the mail. You know, you put it on your computer, and then you just have to hope that your printer, in my case, is very problematic. You know, I've gone through a couple of printers. You have to hope they're working. Otherwise, you know, you might have to go out and buy a new printer just to get your certificate from the ARRL. I don't know. Back to you, Brian.
AC2GS. Yeah, I hate inkjet printers because if you don't use them regularly, they're guaranteed to clog, and then sometimes you can unclog them and sometimes you can't. I have a color laser printer. It's a Dell. Dell doesn't make those anymore. And, yeah, it cost me, I don't know, $400, $500, and I haven't had to change the toner cartridge in years. And nothing gets clogged up if you turn it off for 6 months and then turn it on. So I'm a big fan of color lasers as opposed to inkjets. Inkjets are okay if you're into photography and you're into printing photos regularly and you're not annoyed by the ridiculous price of inkjet cartridges, or if you're willing to mess up your house with a third-party ink for inkjet cartridges. Jeff, I think I heard you. You want to say something?
Bill, I'm going to try RF, Roy. Give me a signal.
Sorry, it's just noise on the send. A lot better things you could do with your time than hang out around here and just screw things up for some people, but not for me. So have a great night. Go and finish that fifth of scotch and have a nice dream. Anyway, this is AC2GS.
Yeah, I heard it, by the way, that time. Yeah, I concur. WS21.
So you say it happened to me too, right?
Yeah, it affects everyone who's going through, apparently, who's going through the Glen Oaks repeater. someone sitting there with the incoming frequency, and he doesn't care who it is at this point. Apparently, he'll do it for anyone. He can't do it for people who are on All Star. He can't do it for people who are on Echolink because that's not RF in origin. So he's just doing it for the poor guys who are doing it the most ham-like way with a regular radio and a regular antenna. So go figure.
I'm afraid he doesn't do it to me because I'm...
Yeah.
I don't know how it will go. Jeff made a good point that we have to try not to quick key, because if we quick key, people who are going to be using Echolink as a secondary means of communicating won't be able to get through. Another problem is that the guy who's doing this is effectively keying up the repeater and blocking Echolink. So you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. So let's give a good 30 seconds of silence, Wes, and see if, I'm not sure if Jeff wanted to say something on Echolink, or he was just pointing out that, malicious quick key. Anyway, let's give a 30 second pause, and hopefully there'll be nothing on the repeater, and if Jeff wants to say something through the Echolink, he can, okay?
ADC2CL, more as a test to see if he's actually keying up during the carrier drop. Anyway, this is ADC2CL via Echolink. If you need a test, let me know. Otherwise, I'll be listening. And if you need me to come up with a question, I'll do my best. ADC2CL, thanks for what you're doing with.
Okay, you're welcome, Jeff. Let me try one last time if there's anyone else, and if not, then I guess we'll go to U.S. Is there anyone with any amateur radio-related question, comment, topic for discussion who would like to be put on the list for tonight?
Wait, I did come up with a question, a legit question, Roy.
Okay, Jeff, let's hear it.
ADC2CL for identification. The question is, if they're having all these computer problems and the ARRL has recently requested that the VE group coordinate with the VEC to have electronic testing through the computers or download their tests through the computer uplink, how is this going to affect licensing going forward? This is recently announced, I think, on the various news channels. QSL.
Well, the good news is the ARRL has little to nothing to do with this. This is all kind of coalesced over a website called, I think it's radioexam.org. They are handling all the electronics. All that they do, I gather, is send the results to the ARRL, who then bounces it to the FCC. So if anything, it takes them even farther out of the loop. All that they do is certify VEs, give their name to the online services, so that they're listed as legit, and they get a operational password and account. It's very, very difficult to get these things. You can't just kind of say, I'm a VE, here's a copy of my certificate. There are levels of involvement. You have to join Discord. You have to go on training missions. And once you get training done and it's signed off on, only then do they approve you for different levels. If you're not the team leader, you don't get that level. And, you know, if God forbid you want to generate an exam booklet, which I once wanted to try and do because I was not certified as a team leader, they told me to go away. So it's going to be more obsessive compulsive than it was with the ARRL, which I find amusing because they have always been real obsessive compulsive when it comes to VE exams. But it's going to entail less computer effort on their part, from my understanding. It's a completely separate entity that kind of is acting as the central hub for a whole bunch of different VE groups throughout the country.
KCTPM. Thank you very much, Roy, for clarifying that. That was an immense amount of detail that I was unable to get anywhere else, even from the VE team leader that I work with. So we have a VE team that's you know, fully accredited and fully involved with the ARRO, and just, you know, has the field box and all that stuff. And so we've kind of been poking around looking for news about what's to happen. And I was previously involved in Paul ACTT's, as you know, his VE team as well. So yeah, that's good to know that it's going to be in the hands of some centralized and competent and not computer infringed group. That's good to know. Thank you so much, Roy. And back to Matt, ACTT.
You're welcome. As you probably know, come January 1st, the blue acetates, which were the bane of the ARRL, are a thing of the past. Somehow they're going to, even in person, use electronic devices. I've been unable to kind of get an idea of, do they expect people to just bring their iPads, or do they expect them to take the exam on their cell phones? I haven't really heard the details of that, but definitively the ARRL, if it gets what it wants, is going to completely do away with the booklets and the, you know, pen, put the pencil in the, fill up the little oval with the pencil. It's all going to be some type of computer, either cell phone or iPad or something like that. So I'm curious about that aspect. I haven't really gotten any details, and you would think the details would be readily available, because January, before you know it, you blink and it's January.
AC2PL. In a way, I'm looking forward to a system which is computerized, but obviously we have the antiquated system going straight up to that. And Lester, K2LPM, the team leader that I work with over in Yonkers, has not been notified of any of this stuff as to what the changeover is going to entail. Apparently there's a way to download paper exams and print them. You know, that's one avenue of an attack. And the other one is to have a bank of computers. Could you imagine? Could you imagine the people that have traveling VE boxes just dragging computer terminals around with them? It's just, it seems a little bit of a stretch. And I don't know if they're trying to centralize things or if they're just trying to make everything uniform or avoid, you know, cheating or anything like that. I have no idea, Roy, which direction they're trying to head. But anyway, enough of my questions. Back to that. I'm sure there are other people who want to talk. AC2PL, I'll be listening.
Okay. Thanks, as always, for participating. My guess, being a person who expects people, very little from people, is that at the very last moment, the ARRL will kind of do an oopsie and say, okay, instead of switching over January 1st, let's make that July 1st. So it'll be interesting to see come January 1st whether they go through with it or whether they decide once again they bit off more than they could chew and they need a little bit more chewing time. So it'll be interesting to see. I mean, you know, I have the benefit of having my license, and so, you know, if they screw it up, unfortunately, it's not great for people who want to be hams, and I feel bad for them. But, you know, at least they're not screwing up my life with this thing. So, yeah. Anyway, thanks again, Jeff, as always. Once again, I continue inevitably to be AC2GS. This continues to be the Limark Technical Net, and we're looking for amateur radio questions. If you got an amateur radio question, please hit that push to talk, and we'll see if we can actually do something with it.